Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, if you want to listen to the full Burt Show every day uninterrupted, we got no ads on that thing. All you have to do is become a bonus BS subscriber. That's bonus Burt Show. Find out more at theburtshow.com/bonusBS.
The Burt Show.
So Kristen was on the show yesterday at this time, but somehow, some way, made it to Maui.
I did.
Laid out. Got this amazing tan, and then made it back here in 24 hours. That is a beautiful tan you are rocking from
Maui. Thank you. And let's not get crazy. I didn't go to Maui. I stayed on the East Coast. I just went to the Bahamas for a quick beat.
Silly me.
Beach. Light trip.
I also have the Bahamas in my bathroom cabinet, but
my Bahamas is courtesy of Kaylee's wife, Erin, and Coco Bella Tanning.
Very beautiful tan you're rocking today.
Thank you very much.
You needed this confidence going into the weekend.
I'm hoping. And also, tan fat looks thinner than pale fat. So we're going for that as well.
Come on.
True story.
So we are all going to be heading out to a radio convention to learn radio over the next couple of days.
We need it.
Everybody needs it. We especially need it. So Kristen, are you hosting a panel, or are you sitting on the panel?
I'm not hosting a panel. I am sitting on a panel.
Okay, and I am hosting a panel called, no pressure here, Saving Radio. Oh,
wow. In 30 minutes or less.
Right. No problem at all.
Oh, no, they give them 45 minutes, Abby, and then there's a 15-minute Q&A.
Oh, God, we needed the extra 30.
Well, the way most radio guys talk isn't in short clips, so it's really only two questions in 45 minutes for my panel. But Kristen's sitting on a panel. She's been stressing about it now for weeks.
And no pressure for mine. Mine is called Masters of the Morning.
Oh, damn. Oh,
wow. Can't wait to tell them about Kristen's stupid bit of the week.
You and I, it's funny how we handle the same thing very differently. I'm over here days out, getting spray tans and whatnot. I'm actually trying to focus less on the aesthetic portion of the panel. Haven't even picked out what I'm going to wear yet. Normally, I have my outfits chosen weeks in advance. You know, Mo, I'm crazy about the fits when I go on this trip for this conference.
Are you checking a bag?
No, okay. I won't check a bag. But I am so in my head about this panel and who I'm sitting with, because these are big names in the radio industry on some very big shows. And then there's us. But no, that's not true. The Burt Show is very much looked up to in the radio industry. I know when I was going to boot camps, that's where I met Burt, was at a morning show boot camp years ago, and very much looked up to the Burt Show and wanted to be a part of this show when I was a baby DJ in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Looks way better from the outside.
It does. And so I recognize our name comes with some recognition, and that's because what Burt has built over the past 20 plus years.
Thank you.
So I get to sit on, you know, there's a bigwig, Dennis Clark, that hit me up and wanted me to be on this panel, and I'm like, can't say no to Dennis. And then I saw some of the names that were on it. I mean, we have somebody from the Kid Craddock Show, the Bobby Bones Show, Elvis Duran, the Fred Show, the Rula Show. And it's just,
within our industry, these are really big syndicated shows.
Yes. And the other night, I woke up at 2 a.m. and I just sat there for over an hour. pretending like I was on the panel.
Well, there's a couple of things in play here, I think, for you this time, mostly. So the last time that Kristen was on a panel, it ended up being, for no fault of her, she was fine, she was great. But a radio guy decided that he was going to dress up in character. It's even hard to explain. As a sultan of his own radio island, and came in character with security guards and was role-playing this guy on stage and kind of upstaged everybody that was on the panel, and it made it really uncomfortable for everyone. We understood what he was trying to do.
It went left.
It was just really, really odd. And Kristen was so stressed out going into that panel, and this guy kind of...
nightmares come true.
I did not find this out. Literally, like, we were about to walk on stage, and then this was presented to me what was happening.
But if there were people that left that panel and they weren't happy with what they saw, it had nothing to do with you.
Well, I know, but I was still a part of it, so my name's attached to it.
I feel like I would have appreciated that, because anything I did, they wouldn't remember anyway after
probably,
what he did.
Yeah. I probably need to get out of my head, for sure.
And but then you also didn't even want to do this one, and I like pushed her. I'm like, you've got to do this one.
Well, so then last year, there was a really big panel before us. So once again, huge names partnered up with big wigs of companies and program directors. And like, you had Angela Yee from The Breakfast Club. There were other like just big personalities. And so that was the panel right before ours. And when I say we could not get control of the room, and then as soon as our panel started, there was a mass exodus of people. It was not a confidence builder.
It can be intimidating, that's for
sure.
It's
very intimidating. Yeah. And it's one thing to sit in here and like talk on the mic with you guys, and it's another thing to be sitting in this large ballroom and all your peers are staring at you, mm-hmm. people that you follow on social media and you look up to and that you've known for quite some time, and just being like, don't say anything stupid because they're going to wonder how you've been managing to do this for 20 years.
Nah, what a tremendous compliment for you, though. I mean, those are really big names, and a compliment for everybody that's in the studio that we have representation on that panel. I mean, those are really, really big names.
Yeah, I love
and
it.
For you to be on it is like a huge honor and compliment.
So what I'll do is this. Being on it is the honor. I'll just try not to say anything.
You can't mess that up.
Yeah, you already got the tan.
That's perfect.
You're rocking that tan, man. So, yeah, and the way that I've been preparing for it is I, like, finished my questions up yesterday. I sent them to everybody that's on the panel. And I don't get nervous about these things until right before game time.
Oh, see, I like to build the anxiety anticipation.
I'm the same way, I get it.
I'll go into it totally and completely overprepared. I'll have 20 questions ready to go, knowing that I'm only going to get to 4 of them, and that kind of settles my nerves. Plus, I've done it for so many years, and there's almost a responsibility for people like you and I, because a lot of those that attend are much like Abby, who is just now starting off in radio, and Kristen and I were Abby years and years and years ago, and we just... We just couldn't get enough education from the elders of radio, right? They took us under their wing. They explained a lot of stuff to us. They would take us out to dinners, get us really drunk.
That's when I learned the most, by the way.
For sure.
I mean, the panels are great, but it was the dinners afterwards with your radio icons. Like, I will never forget... Kid Craddock got a limo for a bunch of people, and I don't know how I ended up in there.
Was this New Orleans?
But I did. Oh, no, I don't. I think it was Chicago.
Okay.
I think it was a Chicago. I don't remember anything about that New Orleans one. But I just remember sitting in there and looking around at Jeff and Jer and Kid. And
these are these big shows like 10, 15 years ago.
And just like trying to soak everything in.
Yeah. And now I think that you and I have a responsibility. Look, I don't really quite enjoy going to these things as much as I used to anymore, mostly because I don't drink like I did back in the day. And now I have a family. But I do think that there's a responsibility for us to do the best we can for the Abbeys or the Moes and whoever else.
Yeah.
And you got to do what you got to do and do it in the best way. And I also think radio is in this tipping point right now. Like, if we don't get together and figure it out, bye-bye radio.
So my big question is, since you're stepping into the role of sort of being the heads of radio and teaching the young ones, what time does the limo leave?
Yeah. I would like to know that as well. Yeah. Once I start making Kid-Kratic money, I'll let you know.
It would be a really fun idea for us to do that, though, is do a night out. Are you guys up for that?
Yeah.
Well, we have to do it Thursday night because that's the only night we have there. I mean, I guess we could do it Wednesday night, but also Friday morning is my panel. So,
and Friday afternoon is mine. I'm not going to do that thing hungover.
Wednesday.
The Burt Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
I feel like Beyonce deserves a big round of applause this morning because she was so good to her fans, so good to them. In a world where Doja Cat is roasting her fans on Twitter and saying that she doesn't love them, it's very refreshing to see Beyonce do something like this. So she had a big show in D.C. and there were severe weather delays. I mean, I think there was lightning and rain and there were 50,000 people there huddled, you know, ready to see Queen B, really excited about it. And so there's this big delay. The concert started later than expected. And so instead of, you know, just being like, well, that's the weather, Beyonce decided to pay $100,000 for the D.C. Metro to stay open later so all of her fans could get home safe after the show.
That's power right there.
That's dope.
I know, that's so huge.
And
that's
money.
That's more power than most politicians have in Washington, D.C. Like, if a politician calls up and wants that there, and they're going to be like, no. But Beyonce, oh, yeah, no problem.
Yeah, no problem. We'll make it happen. Yeah. She also brought back Lizzo's name in her Break My Soul remix, which we talked about last week. She had taken it out after that whole lawsuit scandal. And it looks like whatever's going on behind the scenes, she felt good enough to bring her name back.
So I want to back up for just one second, because I lived in D.C. for 8 years and everything really is so political, right? It's almost impossible to get anything done. So when we're throwing out this, she threw $100,000 at the D.C. police in order to keep the metro going, the subway system going. That's like a huge deal. That's not like just $100,000. That means you're asking employees to stay on the job for another hour also, everybody around the stations. That is not something that is done in D.C. You can't get that done. Beyonce did it.
You have to be Beyonce.
Literally, you have to be Beyonce. Should she run for office?
It's really pretty incredible when you think of how many people had to change their lives for that 1 hour.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming they looked at the weather a couple of days before and said, hey, this might be a possibility. So Beyonce put the $100,000 up probably 72 hours in advance, because you couldn't do that spur of the moment.
I don't know. From what I read, it sounded like it was a spur of the moment thing.
Damn.
Yeah. And so for the DC Metro, I was surprised it didn't stay open all night, because like, you live in New York and you can take it drunk at 3 a.m. with rats crawling around. Yeah. But DC, yep, they keep it very clean. So I'm sure that $100,000 went to great use.
You didn't have to take that shot at New York.
We've seen the videos, viral videos.
So, I mean, Metro's cool and all, but I'm wondering about Lizzo, because Beyonce and Lizzo our friends. Like, Beyonce on Lizzo's birthday, Beyonce always on her website will put like her friends and a baby picture of them and wish them a happy birthday. So it's very well known that she and Lizzo have a special relationship. So for her to have removed Lizzo's name from Break My Soul and then put it back in, it makes me wonder what Lizzo thinks about that. Because I would be like, you took my name out, leave it out.
I wonder if they could talk woman to woman just business-wise.
Yes.
Like, hey, I know this is going to go away. I trust you. But for a night or two, I'm going to take your name out of the song just for business. But I believe in you.
But I feel like
she
drew
more. And then I wonder if two women in entertainment would understand that.
I think so. But it to me, it drew more attention by removing it. Had she just left it in there, nobody would be talking about it.
I feel like it depends on how I defined our relationship. Because if I were Lizzo and I felt like we were really friends and you did that, I would feel a way. And I wouldn't even want you to put my name back.
Well, she might.
She didn't believe in me. Yeah.
She might have been worried that she was going to get booed. Like, you hear, you say the name Lizzo in front of a crowd of 50,000 people, and then, you know, you got a bunch of drunk people thinking, "Boo, Lizzo! I just read her what's going on in entertainment tonight with her." So maybe she was worried she was going to get some kind of major backlash that was going to cause headlines.
Possibly.
Since we're sort of switching now over to Lizzo, was her response good enough for you guys to believe? Like, you know, now I understand where she. Like, I still like Lizzo. Like, for 24 hours, maybe I didn't. I questioned her, but you know what? With her response, how are you guys feeling about it?
Well, if her song comes on, because I listen to her music all the time, if I put her on shuffle, like, I'm not going to turn it off. I'm not like so angry that I wouldn't, but
I just don't think we have enough information from Lizzo's side. I think we have like that one statement where she's kind of being like, none of this is true. But we have so much information from the other side that it's hard to really come to any kind of firm conclusion.
I'm waiting. Like, so, you know, Lizzo made her statement and I'm okay with it. I think it was a statement that buys time to let things play out instead of the court of opinion. An actual court.
Yeah, I just think it was a step. I don't think it was anything that she said that would make me definitively be on her side or believe that she's right. I feel like it kind of gave these things kind of happen in the world of Hollywood, but it's not as bad as people are making it seem. Mm-hmm. Like that's kind of what her response said mm-hmm. to me.
But I don't like people being dismissive of other people's feelings.
Yeah, it's so complicated because you don't know, you know, we see life through so many different lenses mm-hmm. that Lizzo is going to see it very differently than others. She's going to present her testimony and vice versa. And at some point or another, it's going to come down to a she said, she said. Now,
The 1975 is about to face the music after they caused the Malaysian government to cancel a music festival. More details on that on your next eBuzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Both have dreams. Get in front of a national TV audience and accept their Academy Awards. Which one is already ahead of the other in this dream, though? We have two producers here, Rebecca and Romeo, both with the same goal. They want to be actors and actresses.
Well, Romeo wants to be an actor, and I want to crush his dreams. That's my dream.
Okay. All right.
That's you and my entire life.
All right, so Romeo has told us, we'll get into your origin story, Rebecca, but Romeo,
yes, sir.
You have been telling us that this has been a dream desire of yours for a very long time. In fact, you were the star almost in a major motion picture.
Oh, yeah, 100%. And it's funny because I started looking at baby photos, and I've been acting since I was like 4 years old, and I didn't realize this. And it's always been a dream, and I think I was just so scared. And recently I signed up for acting classes. But like you said, I am part of the SAG-AFTRA situation that's going on because your boy did get to participate in a Melissa McCarthy movie where the credits were rolling and it said Romeo at the end of the credits, water bottle boy.
Have you been picketing as well?
No, you know what? No, I have not. But.
The industry hasn't been that good.
I stand with them.
He's not picketing for better pay. He's picketing for some pay.
Something.
So you were in this scene, but they did cut it out.
They did. You know, unfortunately, I think I was just too good that I took the spotlight from Melissa McCarthy. So they were like, we got to get this guy like out.
They did not. You stop. They did not cut his scene.
Right.
They just cut him talking. He's in the scene. True. He and Melissa McCarthy wrestled over a bottle of water.
They wanted your face.
She was on
in
top
there.
Of me for sure. Yeah.
They just didn't like the way his voice sounds.
Right, but they liked your look.
Take it how you get it, brother. Don't matter.
Damn. I thought you were on my side. You're so good at that.
So this is you were 4 years old, really wanted to be an actor, and you're just now really starting to get back into it.
Yeah. So as of 2 months or 3 months now, I signed up for some acting classes, and I've been doing them for a while now, and every month has been a journey, just kind of getting back into it and kind of like realizing that like, oh, this is fun, this is what I like to do, and I think I can pursue this as an actual dream, and why not try to chase it.
Okay, Rebecca, so where does your interest in acting start?
So my dream started about a week ago when Romeo was talking about his acting classes, and I was like, I could do that. So,
do you know how many people have gotten into radio saying the same thing after listening to this show?
Romeo's been in like mainstream TV and movies as like a featured extra actor, which is like really awesome. But I was forced to take an elective acting class in college. Mm-hmm. And I think that makes us peers. I was also in a fourth grade play as Miss Hannigan and Annie.
Oh, everybody was talking about that. It was an amazing, amazing performance.
Those are my credentials.
So what are we doing this morning to prove who's got the better acting chops?
So I would like for us to be given a scene, a very dramatic scene, so that we can play off of each other and you guys can judge us. I have a clip from my previous acting class in college that I'd like to play for you just to give you a little taste of my proficiency.
What you're bringing to the table?
Yeah. Just trying to intimidate you.
Exactly. So this is the first scene that I ever did in my acting class, and I played Hannah, the lesbian, who really wanted to get pregnant.
It was a big mistake. You shouldn't even know about it. And there are bigger things at work here.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
Hannah, tell her about the condom.
What is he talking about?
I found the condom.
What did you do? Why were you looking for the condom?
She poked holes in my condom.
Oh my God, Jack, would you just shut up for a second?
I filled it with water and it was like a rain shower. She tried to steal my sperm.
I wasn't trying to steal your sperm.
Oh, then what?
Hey, did you put holes in his condom? No. Yes, but I was just trying to get pregnant. With Jack? No, not with Jack, just with someone. Oh my God.
Wow.
This sounds like a deleted scene from The Secret Life of the American Teenager.
So is that like a school production or a friend production?
That was in college. It was, I'm pretty sure the professor wrote that scene.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I thought you and your buddies had like a sleepover. You
No. Oh, wow. What school you went to again?
Yeah.
Where did you go again?
I went to SCAD.
Okay.
Is he still teaching there?
She is. She teaches acting for the camera.
Okay. Oh, your son is in good hands, Bert.
My kid's at the Savannah campus. He's safe.
That's where I was.
Okay.
Oh, I was?
Oh, damn.
Damn.
All right,
so how do we want to settle this morning?
All right, so we need to come up with a scene. Mm-hmm. So do you want to do, like, do you want it to be a monologue a la America Ferrera Barbie? Do you want to interact with somebody else? Do you want to interact with each other? Like, how would you like to see this go down?
So we're giving them 24 hours.
Yes, okay. They got to prepare.
All right.
Okay. I think it would be best if we have, like, a two-person scene where we're really acting off of each other.
Okay.
Make it super dramatic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I like this.
I do too. Okay. Right. Now we just got to come up with the scene that we think would be worthy of performance on the Bert Show.
Can we find one that has like deep sexual like tension? Yes.
That's perfect.
It should be the scene from Anchorman where they talk about the perfume. Works 90% of the time, 10% of the time.
What about something from 50 Shades?
Oh.
You need something with actual emotional depth.
Can I play Christian Grey? If I get to play Christian Grey, I'll do it.
You cannot bring a whip in studio. It's a weapon, Rebecca.
All right, so let's take 20. Let's not even take 24. Later on today, we will all try to figure out exactly what scene that we will give you guys. We'll send it to you later on today. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow around this time, you guys will act together, and we'll see who's got the better chops.
Let's
and
do it.
Scene.
Okay. She even knows the terms. All right, exit stage left. Bye.
Bye.
The Bert Show.
All right, Abby, upset bride wants a bachelorette party redo.
Ooh, yes.
Can you even do those?
That's what she wants to know. So I'm going to be the maid of honor of my cousin's wedding next year. And so when a listener sent me this article, I was like, as long as I don't do the bachelorette as poorly as they do, then I'm going to be just fine. So it's this Reddit thread where this woman wants to know if she can ask for a redo on her bachelorette because her friends literally abandoned her the whole weekend.
The bride got abandoned?
Yes.
There's a hard rule at bachelorette parties. Leave no woman behind.
There's just kind of one rule on bachelorettes, period. Make it about the bride.
Yeah, there's that as well.
What were they doing? Hooking up with like other people left and right? So they just let her go do her own thing? Or?
So I can read this whole thread or I can just give you a summary. So the thread says, I'm getting married in 3 months to my fiance. This past weekend, my whole bachelorette party for my bridesmaids and four of my other close friends spent a weekend at my grandma's cabin in the mountains. The official weekend plans were kept a surprise for me, but I had set the expectation that I wanted to play a lot of silly, stereotypical bachelorette games, spend some time outside hiking or swimming, or go to the club in the nearby town. The first night we got there, it started out okay, was nothing special, but then everyone was splitting into little groups, and I ended up not seeing much of my bridesmaids most of the night. The next day, things started to go downhill. I was told to be ready to leave the house at 10 a.m. I went downstairs at 9:45, didn't see a single person till noon. By the time everyone was up and ready, it was 2 p.m. Around 3 p.m., I finally asked my maid of honor what the plan was. She said we had missed our brunch reservation and everyone had immediately started drinking when they woke up, so no one could drive us anyway. Since I was the only sober one at the time, I ended up having to go into town and grab everybody lunch. The night plan was to go into town and hit up the club, and apparently nobody had considered how we were getting into town, which was a 45-minute drive. We ended up calling a local cab to see if they could drive us into town, and they said they don't typically do out-of-town rides, so they would have to charge us $250 up front. The club we went to is my favorite club, which is where me and my maid of honor go all the time. However, when we finally got to the club, things immediately started going bad again. I went and grabbed myself a drink, and by the time I came back, my group had integrated themselves with a group of about six guys. There was no room at their table for me, so I went off to dance with my friends.
Come on.
Wow.
After a while, we went back to the table, and everyone had left. I called my maid of honor and asked where they were, and she said that the guys had told them about a better club a few blocks away, and they had went there. She didn't even realize I wasn't with them. The one friend I was with wanted to join them, but I just wanted to head back to the cabin at this point. When I woke up the next morning, only three people had made it back. I asked them where everybody else was, and they said they had ended up going home with some of the guys. I texted the Bachelorette group chat and said how sad I was about how the weekend had gone so far. I also mentioned that I thought it was inappropriate that they chose to go home with some random guys instead of coming home with me. Some of them ended up responding, saying they were mad at me because apparently they had no way to pay for the cab home and got stranded in town. Eventually, everyone made it back to the cabin. The plan for the day was to go to the beach and then play some silly games. Everyone says they were really hungover, and we just tried to make the best of it. We got back to the house, and everyone was having a blast. We were playing drinking games. And then I asked them what they wanted to do, and they said they weren't having fun anymore and wanted to do something else. Basically, it's just this whole scenario. It goes on and on and on and on for pages, where she was basically like, every time we went out, my friends would either go off and do something else or leave me to pay for everything.
Now, when you select who's going to be at your bachelorette party, these are good friends of yours, right? So you know who they are.
They're your closest friends. You have like your bridesmaids and then your other close friends who aren't in the bridal party, but they're obviously totally okay with it. And you have a big weekend of it. This, I am livid for her. Like, what a horrible maid of honor.
The only two conclusions I can come from this scenario is either A, she's horrible friends and she's just now realizing it.
That's what it sounds like.
Because sometimes it takes stuff like this for you to realize that this is not like your friend's area of strength. But honestly, they just seem like a-holes. But B, there's a lot of pressure to have like an even amount of groomsmen and bridesmaids. So if you've got a groom that has like 15 people in his groomsmen party, then there's a lot of pressure to have 15 people in your bridesmaids party because then it makes you look like you don't have a lot of good friends. So what I kind of think actually happened in this scenario was maybe that happened and she invited all these random people who weren't actually her good friends just for the sake of balancing things out.
That could be it. Now, let me throw another scenario out at you, and I don't want to victim shame here, but if you've got like five or six women and they're all super selfish women, and these are your closest friends that have bailed on you during your bachelorette party, isn't like the cliche that take a look at my friends, take a look at me?
Yes, there is a cliche like that. So the fact that they all left the club and didn't realize the bride wasn't with them, I would have went home at that point in time.
That's why I feel like what would be the point of a redo? Because aren't you going to invite the same friends?
I want a redo.
You got to do it with different friends.
I want a solo trip.
Yeah.
Seriously.
The Burt Show.
They love his fiance, the mother, and his sister love his fiance. Love her. And they don't want to see her get hurt. So they want to make sure that her son / her brother isn't cheating on the current fiance. This is meddling at the highest right here. And they want us to do a War of the Roses to catch a cheater. Abby has the email.
I'm looking for your help with your War of the Roses in order to fix some family drama.
Oh, she misspelled to create some family drama. No, I'm saying she said to fix some family drama. Yeah. She misspelled create.
She did. Yeah. My brother, bless his heart, isn't always known for making the best choices. He was engaged to a woman who wasn't exactly adored by our family. Regardless, our family tried to be supportive.
Then he made another poor choice and cheated on her. Gossip traveled fast, and my family was humiliated when everybody knew why the wedding was being called off. Well, then my brother started dating someone new. Despite the drama, it seemed like everything happened for a reason because his girlfriend is everything we'd hope for him and more. We've all been not so secretly hoping he'd propose because she genuinely feels like a great fit for our family. Well, just when it seemed like the drama was behind us, my mom and I started to become suspicious. We think there's a chance that he isn't exactly being faithful to his girlfriend. To make it even worse, we think it might be with his former fiance. There's so many problems here. For one, obviously, we don't think she's the best person for him. And two, we hate that he is potentially hurting a wonderful person. Three, the gossip we are going to have to put up with and the explanations we will have to give if they end up together. So, where do you come in? Can you help us find out if he is actually cheating and if it is with his ex? Not sure what we will do if it turns out to be true, but the first step is finding out.
I am really curious right now. If you guys have a couple of seconds, 1-855-BIRCHO, who approached the fiance and said, do not marry my brother or do not marry my sister or do not marry my son for whatever reason? Because with this information, they're probably going to the fiance and saying, like, he's a chronic cheater. What are you doing here? We love you, but this is never going to work out. And we could put you on the voice disguiser, but you went against the family. 1-855-BIRCHO.
So before we delve into this, my question, because they were talking about how embarrassed and humiliated they were that he had cheated on his fiance. As a parent of a boy, as a parent, and it doesn't matter if it's a boy or a girl, honestly, regardless, if your child cheats on their fiance, do you feel like you've failed in some way as a parent?
Dang.
Because I think I would. If Jimmy were to do that to his husband or wife, I would feel like I failed in a certain aspect as a parent.
I would think you failed also.
Well, okay, you have kids too. You get to play this hypothetical game.
Mine would never do that.
Of course they wouldn't.
So I can't even connect to it, but yours for sure. I've seen Jimmy.
Oh, so
I've seen the way that he looks at women.
The 2-year-old is more apt to cheat.
I see the way he flirts with
than the 20 and 16 year old.
I'm calling it right now.
I wouldn't feel that way.
No?
I mean, you can give them a good foundation. If when they're an adult, they're an adult, and I wouldn't look at. I don't think I look like at anybody and say, oh, you made a mistake today. Your parents didn't raise you right. When they're adults, I'm like, you're an adult. You made a misstep and you made a mistake. So I think at some point, as a parent, you lay the foundation and then kids are going to go do what they want. Because I look at stuff I did as a young adult. Mm-hmm. My parents would have never stood for it, but I did it anyway because I was dumb.
Now, my dad created the a-hole I was when I was younger. Yeah. For sure it was his fault.
What about the one now?
I got no excuse. We can do this, but man, this is going to be meddling to the highest, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, if you approach the fiance, I would almost see it as a personal attack. Like if I'm engaged and my fiance's parents or and their sibling come up to me and say, hey, we don't think you should marry this guy. He's like a serial cheater. He's awful. I'm going to see it as you sabotaging my relationship because you don't like me.
Right.
I'm going to take it very personally. So I wish we could just stay out of it, but I know that's not how this game works.
Yeah, I'm all for it because it's not my family, so I'm in it. But if this were me, I couldn't see myself, even if I felt like my brother or sister were dead wrong, I couldn't see myself going against the family like that.
Here is Andrea saying that she told her stepmom not to marry her dad. Hey, Andrea, good morning.
Good morning. It was great advice. When my stepmom was dating my father, and shortly after, 3 months in, they decided they were going to get married, and I told her it was a terrible idea. It was my dad's third marriage, and she did it anyways, and so she's regretting it, and it's been awful.
Dang. So she didn't listen to your advice, she married him, and does she ever come to you now and go, I should have listened to you?
Yeah, all the time.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
That's a tough one.
Well, you tried.
You did what you could. Yeah.
Would you say you have like a close, healthy relationship with your dad and you just know that's how he is? Or do you guys are kind of like rocky?
No, yes, at the time we were extremely close. Mm-hmm. But again, like I said, it was a third marriage. My mom was a second, and he was terrible to my mom. So
gotcha.
Financially, physically, emotionally abusive. And I was like, all of this is a game. It's only been 3 months. It's going to change. And now she's stuck with him.
Yeah.
So.
When you tell somebody that info, and that's what's probably going to happen here. Like, let's say we do test him, right? He cheats. We go back. Are they really going to believe this or not? Is the fiance going to believe it or not? I don't know that any good is going to come out of it, except, like you said, maybe creating some drama.
Oh, it's going to create a lot of drama.
The Burt Show.
All right, Mo. Credit card fraud, man.
So this is like one of those situations in life when something happens, and I genuinely was like having this debate with Katie on our podcast in the moment about whether you would be upset with this person or would you feel like, you know what, they did me a favor and what they did during the favor was kind of warranted.
What do you mean?
So I went out with Katie, and Katie pulls out a piece of paper as her identification. So I'm like, Katie, what's going on in your life that you are pulling out a piece of paper to identify yourself, which is when I discovered that she lost her ID.
So what'd you do? You just makeshifted your own just to show somebody like, hey, I promise this is my name, this is my birth name, and this is my date of birth?
No, while I waited for my new driver's license, they give you a paper one that you can print off until the new one is sent to you in the mail. So I needed to have some form of identification. So
you got it all rolled up, like in your pocket and stuff?
Yeah.
You just unrolled it like, this is me.
Pulled it out like a scroll. Like, this is me. So I'm like, Katie, how you lose your ID? And then I discovered not only did she lose her ID, she lost her debit card as well. And knew where you lost your debit card because it was used, right?
Yes. So I went to the gas station, and instead of taking my bag in, I just like got my ID out and my card, and I had it in my pocket. And so it fell out of my pocket. And then the next morning when I got home, I was looking for my ID and my debit card, and I couldn't find it.
That's the worst feeling.
And so I just knew, I was like, I had to have lost it at the gas station. And then I logged into my account to block my card, and I saw that someone else had got gas at the gas station.
No. Okay, but pause right here, right? If you know that you left your card and ID at the gas station, wouldn't like a normal person's first move be to go to the gas station?
Oh, no, I'm assuming that thing is long gone.
Yeah.
You wouldn't go?
No.
To see if they had your ID?
I would go. Yeah, I would go. As soon as I realized it, I'd head on back.
I'd go back.
Because it's such a hassle.
Right.
No, I was thinking, like, Kristen, it's long gone. I ordered a new ID, blocked my card, and was like, you know what? I'm just going to order a new card. And I saw that someone used it, so I'm like, someone's already used that debit card to get their own gas. So I just left it at that.
Okay.
And kept it pushing, waiting for the new debit card. It comes in. Boom, I'm walking around with paper ID. Boom.
Just embarrassing us.
So a week later, I end up back at that same gas station, and I'm there with my best friend, and we go inside, and she's like, Katie, you should just ask if they probably had your ID or something like that. So then I'm checking out, I ask the guy, and I'm like, hey, do you guys have a lost and found? And he's like, oh, yeah. Hey, okay, yeah. And he goes in the drawer and pulls out my driver's license and my debit card.
Had it the whole time. Together, in fact.
Right, together. So I'm like, wow, okay.
So
thanks.
So did somebody see the debit card and they're like, you know what? I'm going to be like a partial Good Samaritan. I'm going to return this, but as a favor, I'm going to fill my tank up with gas and then return it.
Yes.
What?
That's my issue, because I've lost my card several times, and one of two things always happens. Either I never find it, nobody ever like turns it in or tries to help out, or someone uses it and I still never get it back. I've never in my life heard of a situation where someone actually finds your card and uses it first, but then goes out of their way to actually make sure you get it back.
Didn't they need a passcode to use it?
Well, if you just tap it.
Oh,
because it's a debit card.
Okay. You get credit.
Yeah.
And it just goes through.
Uh-huh.
Damn.
So I actually wasn't mad at the charge. I didn't dispute that charge. I just let it go. I was like,
which I don't understand.
Just dispute the charge.
Why not?
You know, they might have needed gas, and at least they returned my ID and my debit card.
But they're still going to have the gas that they took. Like, the bank doesn't go take the gas out of his car. Like, you're just going to get your money back.
Well, I just left it at that. That's the debate that Mo and I were having. Because I was like,
I got to be honest with you. I would have done the same thing.
I would have said,
okay, it was a gallon of gas, a couple of gallons of gas. They probably need it more than I do. I'm just not going to pursue this thing, and I'll just move on with my life.
And that was the only charge of the car, too.
Y'all are better people than us.
Clearly.
Mo and I over here like Bank of America.
I want my $17 back.
Yeah. That man filled the tank up. I want that money back.
How big of a charge was it? Like, how big of a car were we talking here?
$44.19.
Okay, all if right. It was over 50, maybe.
So
$44? No, you better get that money back. That's a nice dinner out.
So yeah, I feel like that's warranted, right? As whoever the guy is, he finds your card, and he's like, you know what? I'm going to do the right thing.
Yeah, you got it.
Well, I'm going to fill his tank
up
first.
It's in my head, the person who pulled up, it's like a single mom, has kids in the car. Mm-hmm. She's on the struggle bus. Yep. She needed to fill up again. There was my card, and she's like, you know what? I'm going to fill this up, but I'm going to return it. That way nobody else can, like, use it fraudulently. And right. So I was like, I'll just let it go.
And it's an unspoken reward.
Yes.
They gave her $44 for handing the card in.
Exactly. And it's not like they could have gone crazy and they didn't. So I just chalked it up to congratulations.
Good for you.
That's true. She could have put a pair of red bottoms in there. She really wanted to. You're sorry.
Now, I mean, if she had gone in the store, like, and started, like, getting a bunch of Slim Jims and... Mm-hmm. Like, you know, a bunch of Mountain Dew.
She needed the gas to get to her fourth job that day. Yes,
of course. Slim Jim is where I draw the line.
You can always listen to Mo's podcast anywhere.
It's called In the Moment, and you get it wherever you get your podcast.
All right, quick reminder before we get into Entertainment Buzz in a couple of minutes. Burst Big Adventure applications. You got 1 month. Burst Big Adventure is the trip that we take down to Disney World with kids that have chronic and terminal illnesses. We bring everybody in the family, and we pay for everything on this trip. All we need is families right now.
Exactly. We are looking for families to nominate themselves or for you to nominate a family. Here's the thing. Applications are due September 6th. I know what you're thinking. I got plenty of time. These are some pretty lengthy applications because you have to get doctor write-offs and we have to have all their medical information. So do us a favor. Go to burtsbigadventure.org. Check it out and either nominate yourself or nominate a deserving family today.
The Burt Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's Entertainment Buzz.
The 1975 will likely face consequences for that same-sex kiss at a music festival in Malaysia. So a little backtrack. Matty Healy protested their LGBTQ+ laws when he kissed his bandmate on stage at the Good Vibes Music Festival. This is punishable by like 20 years in jail in Malaysia. So this caused the 1975 set to be cut short. And also, the Malaysian government then shut down the rest of the music festival. Now, the organizers of Good Vibes are demanding financial compensation from the band and threatening to take legal action in their home country of England. So it wasn't just a little kissy kiss. Yeah. It's a lot bigger than that. Travis Scott, he brought out Kanye West at his show in Rome yesterday. This was Kanye's first live performance since his anti-Semitic remark, Rampage. They're longtime friends and collaborators. I do find it interesting that they've still got a good relationship. I mean, Travis Scott has a publishing deal with Kanye, but with all the drama that went on between Kanye and Kim and Travis Scott and being a part of that whole mix, it's interesting that he's still able to be on good terms.
Did I see, and I'm not sure what city this happened in, that Drake was on stage and started ripping on somebody that was wearing some Yeezys.
Yeah, so Drake still has some beef with Kanye for a multitude of reasons. Uh-huh. One being the fact that it was Kanye that ratted out the fact that he had a son with somebody in a diss track, and then Kanye accused Kim of cheating on him with Drake. It was a whole thing. So Drake was at this concert, and we have audio of it, but it's like very like not, it's not clear. Basically, all he says is, "You look good, even though you got those Yeezys on. You still look good."
What's interesting about that beef is it really, truly is Pusha T more so than Kanye that really like was challenging Drake in airing out the information. Who Pusha T is just affiliated with Kanye, but Drake will bother everybody except Pusha T. He won't bother that man.
Why
is that?
He's afraid of him, lyrically. Okay. Yeah, right. Pusha T is he's a monster of a lyricist, and a lot of people don't play with him like that.
Okay. Wait, I love that. Like, he's so afraid of his words that he's not going to mess with Pusha T.
Let me draw an analogy for you. Mo and I walk into a bar, right? Mo starts giving somebody crap, right? They see Mo and they look at me. They start beating me up, not Mo. Coming
That's
after
how
me.
That works?
Yeah.
Okay. That's different. That's physical, though. You know what I mean? But, like, I don't know.
Well, if you think somebody has not only the lyrical ability to make you look bad as a rapper, but they also have information that they're not afraid to share, it's kind of a hill that you won't die on if you're somebody like Drake, because it's not worth it.
Oh, okay.
So attack Kanye, because it's easier.
That's interesting. Okay, cool. Okay, Elon Musk, he claims that Mark Zuckerberg, him, they are going to fight, and it's going to be streamed on X.
It is not. What a liar.
They keep saying this thing is going to happen, and it feels like fetch. Like, it's not going to happen.
Zuckerberg would never let that happen. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's going to get streamed on X? Yeah, no. Yeah. If anything, it's going to happen in the Meta. It's not going to happen on X.
Well, I think it's going to happen on NASA's live feed. That's the only neutral ground in this case.
I want to watch it.
Of course, everybody wants to watch it.
I want to watch it too.
I want to see
No
it.
Doubt.
Yeah, I don't care where it is. I'm there.
I want to watch it
You're
like
front row.
I'm low.
I want to watch it like at a bar with other people. Like, you know that one meme where it's like that big TV screen and everyone's watching it, and then something happens and everyone's like, ah! Like, I want to see somebody get decked while I'm like watching it like a sporting event.
I think it's going to be a silly fight too. Like, fights you watch on movies and TV shows are nothing like fights between two dudes that don't know what they're doing in real life. Now, these guys do have some training, that's for sure, but it's going to be more of a parody, I think, than anything else.
I want to see Zuckerberg's sweaty, pale foot come across Elon's face and just break his neck.
Dude, he's getting ripped. Have you seen pictures of him lately?
Who, Zuckerberg?
Zuckerberg.
He is.
Why?
Dude, he is getting ripped.
Oh, he's getting ripped.
Yes.
Ripped. Is he?
Yes.
Really prepared for this fight?
Yes.
Okay.
Dude, Zuckerberg knows jiu-jitsu and has medals in it and has also done MMH fighting with, y'all might know this name, Alex Volkanovski.
I don't know.
Apparently he's some big old UFC fighter.
Yeah, he's a big deal. Well, yeah, he was.
It's Russian for I'll beat your ass.
Exactly that.
Well, Zuck's ready. He's going to put that sunscreen on like war paint and jump in that ring. He is ready to go.
Apparently he's thrown out the date of August 26th, but Elon says that he won't commit. And then Mark said that he actually thinks that it would be better to stream it on Threads, particularly if they want to make money for charity. Because apparently this is all going to go for charity for veterans. So we'll see what happens here.
I hope it happens.
It's good for both platforms, honestly. Like, I'm not so sure there hasn't been like some kind of handshake deal made in some back room saying, hey, let's make this, let's definitely fight, but let's play it up, because it's good for all of our platforms.
Why not stream it on both, and whoever gets more views, that's who gets to stay. X or Threads has to go.
Okay. Oh, I like that.
That's actually really good.
Stakes are high.
Yeah, that's fine.
This singer is under fire for comments about the LGBTQ plus community. He says he's sorry, but not sorry for having an opinion. More on that on your ex eBuzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
You think nobody has a worse dating history than you. You are wrong, and Abby is going to make you feel better about your situation. Because she has retired all of her dating apps, but on our bonus content, she details the worst date she's ever been on. These dudes are terrible humans.
Awful. There was one guy who wouldn't even use his hands to eat.
So bizarre.
It was like a baby bird. He was like pecking at the table.
I still can't believe that.
But right. I tell you guys, it's awful. It's so bad.
Abby's worst dates ever on our bonus content this week, theburtshow.com/bonusBS. All right, Romeo, all I want to do is yell, don't do it! Don't go!
You just did.
I just did it. Why are you putting yourself in this position with the ex tonight, man?
Dude, I know, right? You know, I considered everyone's opinion here since last time I was on here discussing the situation as to whether or not I was going to meet up with her.
Just give like the 30-second sort of recap for those that might be listening for the first time.
Yeah. So I was in a relationship for 3 years. It was a long-distance relationship, and we broke off for a multitude of reasons, but one of the main reasons was that we were on the opposite side of the country, basically, and I no longer wanted to be in a long-distance relationship, and I asked her to move out here. She didn't want to, so it was just kind of like, all right, well, I guess that's it. And we broke up, and that was like 8 months ago, and now I got told that she was coming here today for 24 hours because she has an interview tomorrow in with a company whose headquarters are in Atlanta, so there's now the possibility as well of her relocating here, possibly, maybe. Who knows?
And really, the only reason why you guys split up is the timing wasn't right, because she was out there and you were out here. You've sort of moved.
Well,
No. So I think that's one of the things that I wanted to come on here and correct, because I the other day logged in on Instagram on the laptop, and for some reason, like, on there you can access like a whole new folder of all these like messages that I never saw on my app. And I was like, whoa, interesting. And I saw a lot of people had interesting things to discuss with me about my ex, and I think people are getting the idea that I'm in love with this person, or I'm still in love with this person. And yes, like, I think that there's a lot of love, but I'm not in love with this person. And I think that I'm not going to come here and share all the negative things that went on in that relationship.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Of course.
Think I'm choosing to share like the positive things, because I'm the one with the platform. So for me to come here and also discuss all the negative stuff, it would be rude. It would be unfair for her, you know?
I think it's respectful. And I think, like you said, unfair for her not to be able to explain her side. So that's what you do.
Right.
You come on and...
Right.
And it proves you still care about her. Like, 100. You care about this person, so you don't want to put them on blast.
Yeah.
And like our dating antichrist, we have no love lost for them, so we have no problem putting them on blast.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, and so I think that there's like a thing where like, I'm choosing to share like the positive good things. But there was a multitude, a lot of reasons, not necessarily just because of the long distance. There were other reasons as well, like why I fell out of love and the love wasn't there anymore. And I think it was unfair for us to continue a long distance when I think it was, I was not putting effort in it at the end, you know?
So like, why meet her tonight?
Because of the fact that I think I'm done with it.
But if you're done with it, why meet her tonight?
Because she's still a friend.
Okay.
And I think I listened to Cassie. That's what I was going to say. When I heard everyone, there was one thing that Cassie said that I found interesting, because I've always been in the mindset of, you're not friends with your ex. Why would you do that? Why would you want to do that? That was a book. That was a part of your chapter. Close it. Move on. Why would you want to be friends with your ex? And I think for me this time around, it's different, because she was a very special person in my life. And I think nothing bad went wrong. There was no bad blood. And I think she was my best friend. And I think that, like, it's so weird to pretend like she never existed or ignore that part of me. And I think for me, it's just more of like, I'm meeting up, what?
Yeah, Mo's got his skeptical eyes on right now.
I'm just listening. I'm letting you finish. I'm letting you land.
No. I think for me, it's just more of like, I've always been so unsure of the things that I do in life. And this is one of the first times that I feel so assured with what I feel for myself and what I'm feeling in my heart and what I'm feeling in my head, that like, I legitimately mean that there's no feelings there. Like, I'm not saying in the future there may not be. I'm just saying right now, currently in this moment, what I have control of, there's nothing there other than the fact that I'm meeting up with a friend.
Yeah, I don't believe you.
Iconic.
No, I can't tell you how you feel. I mean, if that's genuinely how you feel, that's how you feel. It's hard for me, I guess because of how I am, to put myself in a position to understand that if I truly felt like that chapter of my book was closed and it was somebody that I dated and I've discovered that they're just not my person, I feel like meeting up with them would just complicate things more than it would help.
Yeah, I used to be in the same camp as you. I'm not in that camp anymore. I tend to agree with Cassie that exes are exes for a reason. And then when you move on with your life, if the ex is still around, then it can complicate your current relationship. And I just don't know what good comes out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But Cassie said exes are friends.
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I can't do that, man.
I think it depends on a lot. How the relationship ended, if you truly are over the person and over each other or not. You know, I look back, my ex really wrecked me when we broke up, and I dealt with it a long time, and I met him like again 8 years later and got closure and put it to bed. It's not like we talk. We're not friends. But if I go back to my hometown, we will go out in our group of friends. He'll be there. We'll chat. My husband will be there. Gave his wife, my ex's wife, his jacket because she was cold. So it is possible to be friendly with your exes. And I know other people who are like really good friends with their exes and have moved on and married somebody else.
Two things to consider tonight, though.
Mm-hmm.
All right, just to chew on.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that you feel this way because she's not in front of you? Like, once you get there tonight and you see her and you guys start reminiscing, you'll start feeling that thing again?
No.
Okay.
I really have thought about this very, very hard. Like,
I'm sure.
No.
And the second thing is, are you sure she's in the same place you are?
That I cannot answer. I think that's where a lot of my
Anxiety?
Yeah.
Or nervousness?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So are you picking her up? Are you meeting at a location? Like, how is the, we're not calling it a date because it's not a date. It's just a hang with a friend. How is all this going down?
So
tonight?
Yeah, she has a rental car. So we're meeting up.
Okay.
At a spot. And yeah.
You want to tell everybody where you're going?
No. So
you're
I was so close to doing it.
Don't do it.
I just want to be on the table right next to you. I won't say a word.
Oh,
none of us will say a word.
Right? We'd be right there.
So you're doing, you're acting like friends. You're not going to go pick her up or vice versa. You're just going to meet at a location. You're going to hang out for a bit and then part ways and go your separate ways. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, that's the plan.
This is going to end horribly.
I don't know, man. You guys have faith. Nah, Come on. You guys sound like the people on my DMs right now.
I just think that sometimes your reality changes once the person is in front of you, and just be open to that. That could happen. Uh-huh. Like, are you closing that off altogether?
Yeah.
You are?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because you got to remember, like, I went to Coachella with this person and nothing happened there either. So it's like, for me, like, I feel like I've closed that part of my life.
Yeah. I mean, if you went to that festival and you guys were all on those drugs together and nothing happened, then for sure tonight nothing's going to happen.
That's a fair point. I'll give you that.
They're legal in California.
Yeah. The ones I'm talking about are not legal.
Not the festival ones.
They're not legal. They're not legal anyway. It's the Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
I was wrong yesterday when I said that all Georgia schools were back yesterday. They were not. The cruel people in Gainesville City Schools in Rabun County made their kids wait one more day. So they are back today.
Yeah, and there's some going back tomorrow as well.
Is it really?
What? Yeah, because I put all these on the schedule.
Okay.
Yeah, so we actually have some going back tomorrow as well. So they're still staggering.
Okay.
I mean, so dumb. Monday exists for a reason.
I wouldn't be mad if I started on Wednesday, though.
Yeah, that is true. Just mess up your schedule, but you don't care. You're a kid.
Well,
Deb here needs our help with a love lost and found. She finds this dude. They meet in Buckhead, and she's feeling this connection. She gives him the number even, and then ends up giving him the wrong number.
How does that happen?
Let's ask Deb herself. So she's hoping one of you guys listening right now might know who this dude is. Maybe you're in Buckhead quite a bit. You know who she's talking about, and we can link him up off the Burt Show. Hey, Deb.
Hi there.
Good morning. Okay, give us the whole night and how you guys ended up, like, not linking up, and you're still trying to find this guy.
Okay, so, like you said, met this guy in Buckhead. It was at a bar called Blue. It was during the fight night. I think it was, like, Saturday before last. And so, you know, we were chatting. We had a connection. and so as we were chatting, you know, we're drinking and vibing, et cetera. He gets my number, and I actually saved my number as my name and then, like, the emoji that's kind of like, it's like not the confusion emoji, but it has like the shock face and then the two little, like, it looks like you're shaking like the Mr. Crab meme. Anywho. Mm-hmm.
What is that?
Save my number that.
So you put your number in his phone as an emoji, not as your name.
So it has my name, okay. And then he was like, add an emoji.
Oh, okay.
And so I added the emoji, and the emoji was that Mr. Crab. I say it's the Mr. Crab emoji.
Okay, that's fine.
Whatever you want, it's fine.
And so I save my number as that, and I call myself double-checking because I knew, like, you know, we're drinking and et cetera, having fun. So I'm like, okay, do, 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 do. Okay, we're good, right? So the next morning, I'm like, I have a dream. And it's like a replay of what happened last night. And I think when I double-checked my number, I double-checked it wrong because I was so drunk. Mm-hmm. And I gave him the wrong number.
Oh, no. Were you way off or just off by like one number? How drunk were you?
Honestly, Bert, I'm not sure.
Wasn't like, the right area code.
See, I think the area code was right.
Okay.
I think.
I think.
She gave him the phone number she had growing up.
Right. So you must have been in a panic. You check your phone and you realize, oh, this is why this dude didn't text me. I gave him the wrong number.
Yes, and I even like because he told me that he played baseball at Morehouse.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, let me go on the roster, and all of their links don't even pull up. So I'm just like, dang, I can't even be like.
Okay, all right, Deb, we can figure this out.
Mm-hmm.
You have a lot of information in your email, so let's start going through.
Yes.
You last time we did this, we didn't even have a name. This time we have a name, and his name is
Sam.
Sam.
Like Sam I Am.
Got it.
Okay.
And you actually, you have not just like how old he is, but an actual birth date.
Yes. So his birthday is October 13th, and he said he was born on Friday 13th.
Okay. He's 29, and you have a description.
Yes. So he's like 5'11", I think like 5'11", 6 foot. He has like twists in his hair and a nice crisp little lineup. And he's nice and chocolatey. has wonderful dimples.
A nice chocolatey man with dimples. Got it.
Yes. Exactly.
Don't forget the crisp lineup. Like, fresh.
Apologies.
The crisp with the extra.
It's crisp.
Crisp. Got it.
And so, also, he told me that he was, I didn't put this in the email, but he told me that he was Somalian as well. His mother is Muslim and his dad is a pastor.
Okay. God, this is all good stuff.
And you still, you still have more. So, he just got a new job about a month ago.
Yes.
And
he just got a job. Huh? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, 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 girl, you're good. You're good. He, where did he move from and where did he buy a house?
So he moved from Philly, and then he bought a house in College Park.
Okay.
He said he just bought a house in College Park. I'm not sure when he moved out here, but I know he got a new job out here a month ago.
Okay, you know, when you hear College Park, you have to do it.
College Park.
College Park, Bubba's Park. Okay, so.
I'd be surprised if his phone wasn't blowing up as we speak. You got so many good details here. So here's what we got.
Oh, but before we go even into the details, you guys already have plans for New Year's?
Okay, so we were chatting and whatnot. So, you know how you get a little flirty and whatnot. So he was like, you know, if everything pans out well, I'm supposed to be going to Switzerland. I'm looking for a little travel buddy, friend.
This guy's already hooked it up. He's got New Year's done.
Yeah.
I like the way he flows. All right, so here's what we're looking for here for Deb. If you know a dude that goes to Buckhead from time to time, the critical info is his name is Sam. He's 29 years old. He was born on October the 13th. She thinks it was a Friday the 13th. That doesn't matter.
I don't think it was.
5'11", maybe 5'11 and a half. Juicy twists in his head, accompanied by a crisp lineup. He moved from Philly. He lives in College Park.
Played baseball at Morehouse.
And played baseball at Morehouse. And he's got a math degree. I am telling you, we're going to find this dude.
I know we're going to find him. And there's more on the line than love, people. There's a trip to Switzerland for New Year's.
Right?
Yeah, I found him for that alone.
And I have been seeing so many Switzerland videos in my Insta. It is a beautiful place.
I was just there last year with Tiffany.
I was saying. I was like, it's a destiny.
Yeah. I promise you this, if you guys do make that trip, you will fall in love. It's impossible not to fall in love in Switzerland.
Okay.
All right, so here's what we need you guys to do. If you know who this dude is and you want to give us a call, 1-855-BIRCHO, 1-855-BIRCHO, and just point us in the right direction on who this dude might be. Now, you might not have his phone number. Maybe you work with this dude. You just call us up and you give us little clues along the way and we can do the work. Or maybe you just straight up know this guy. We got plenty of details on him. You call him, you tell him to call us, 1-855-BIRCHO, so we can hook him and Deb up. All right, so once again, here are the things we're looking for. His name is Sam. He's 29 years old. He, at least this night, went to Blue, which is a bar in Buckhead. Nice chocolate man, she says. About 5'11", 5'11"-ish, maybe 6 foot. She even writes in her email, sorry, Bert. I don't dislike him. juicy twist in his head, accompanied by crisp lineup. He was from Philly and lives in College Park now. And here's a key also. Plays baseball or played baseball at Morehouse and graduated from there with a math degree. All right, Deb, hang out. If we get a call, when we get a call, we will give you a call back and we'll try to link you guys up, okay?
All righty.
I like our chances here, Deb.
Godspeed all the way to Switzerland, girl.
All the way.
I 1-855-BIRD-SHOW if you can point us in the right direction.
The Bird Show.